Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Three o'clock hour. Happy Friday. They say thunderstorms and rain in the area. I don't see any here. It's only Mission, Kansas, though, but I don't see any here. Jay Binkley, Rob Brenton, Carrington Harrison wearing a nice straw hat down at Churchill Downs at the Kentucky Derby. And joining us now, our longtime Royals insider, the best in the business, Mr. Josh Vernier. What's up, Josh?
If you ever wanted a sneak peek at what type of meteorologist Jay Binkley is, he just gave it to you.
Yes.
Look out the window. It ain't raining here. It's not going to rain anytime soon.
You know, I always thought I knew a lot about it, but Ned Yost took me to another level.
Yeah, you would always make predictions before going out to Kauffman Stadium, and the predictions were almost always wrong. I'm glad you've retired your whatever you used to.
Well, it's because I used Dusty Likens radar a lot, and that was a terrible radar.
No, don't try to throw anybody else under the bus.
But Ned was great. Ned was perfect. I learned so much about weather from Ned. He was great.
Yeah.
He was better than the ground. Ned was better than anybody out there.
As far as, yeah. And no one's come close since. You know, Mike Matheny was a guy that his attitude was, it was going to be 70 and sunny every single day,
yeah,
and I'll wait for someone to tell me otherwise. And Matt Quatrero is not going to be bothered by the weather. Because the pragmatist that he is, I have no control over it, so why would I care about it?
Well, the Royals in Baltimore for 3 before coming back and playing the White Sox for 4 at home. That should excite us, but as I mentioned earlier, the White Sox do, believe it or not, have more 7-plus run wins than anybody in Major League Baseball. That's a fact. Nick from the Royals tweeted this out. Yeah, believe it or not, the White Sox are like that. Either a few wins, 7-plus runs. But Nick Cable put this out from the Royals PR staff. First in this last 10 games since April 20th. First in wins, first in winning percentage, first in ERA, first in opponent batting average, first in shutout wins, tied for second in batting average at .288. That might surprise some people because out of their 20 or 32 games, they have 5 games where they've scored 4 runs or more. 2 of them were the doubleheader against Colorado. 1 was yesterday where they had 8. But the batting average has been down, and people point at it. But I'll say this. It's been down across Major League Baseball, not just with the Royals.
Yeah, and when you win 9 of 10, I think
who
you
cares?
Would assume you're playing good baseball. And the baseball, for the most part this season, has not been well-rounded. And, you know, even when you look at this little run that they're on, is it something that is sustainable, you know, what we're seeing from this team? You know, that to me is the question. The rotation comes into tonight's game with an ERA just a shade above 3. Can they carry the burden the way that they have over the first 30-some-odd games? I don't believe so. You know, last year, for as great as the rotation was, it wasn't carrying the burden like it has in the first month of the season. Vinny, Bobby, Salvi helped ease some of that burden. Not a lot, but some. They've really received no help in the first month of the season. That's how remarkable this rotation has been, as your offense has been as porous in totality, and you're still 2 games above .500. So, obviously, and we talk about this every time you talk Royals, Vinny, Bobby, Salvi, Jonathan India need to be good to very good. Regarding Salvi, you see today the Royals make a move as they call up Luke Maley, their third catcher, and they optioned Tyler Tolbert back to the minor league. So
I just saw just now. That's interesting. That means Sal's probably going to get some rest behind the plate.
Yeah, yeah. That tells you that they're not ready to put Salvi on the IL, but they're not close to having Salvi behind the dish. So you bring up the third catcher, and you get rid of that late-game pinch runner that has been so valuable for this franchise over the past decade, with Tyler Tolbert no longer out there. So, yeah, listen, still so much of the season to go. The question is what we saw in Tampa, is that the real Royals? Vinny, Bobby, Salvi, Jonathan India, yeah, that needs to be the real Royals. But can we bank on that? Are we expecting that coupled with the Mike Hell and the Drew Waters that we've seen of late? Is this offense as deep as it appeared in Tampa? If so, well, then we're right back to playoffs or bust, and we're right back to division title or bust. But, you know, that's where this team is. That's where the questions are going into Baltimore.
Well, I guess it's funny because the Royals are tied right now for that wild card position with the A's, you know, are right there with them. Red Sox just a half game back.
Stop.
No, I'm just saying, man.
What are you doing? They're two games above 500. Of course they're in it.
You know
Stop.
What? I'm interested in it where they sit.
No, not the wild card. Not if you're a real playoffs or bust team. You don't look at the wild card until you only can look at the wild card. The focus is the division, Bink. Come on.
I know, but hey, I said it early on, and I still believe it. I said,
then do it for the Chiefs.
I said,
then do it for the Chiefs. Hey, we're still in the wild card.
No, it's different with that team.
You don't do that.
Well, they've made the postseason every year and just missed it once with Andy Reid, and that was 14, so they have a good track record of getting there, of course, more than anybody. But the bottom line is, when you look at this team and what they're doing, what do you think lasts longer? Because I've seen where the pitching's looked great in the previous years, the hitting took a while to come around, or the hitting looked great and the pitching hasn't. The batter's starting to come around with Vinny coming around and Sal. They're starting to hit the ball a little bit. And again, averages are down in Major League Baseball. But I was thinking about this. I don't see the pitching completely sliding, to be honest with you. I don't think it is what it is, like right now. But when you have two of the top four in the Cy Young last year, you don't expect downfalls from them. And then, of course, can Lorenzen and Bubich keep up what they're doing? That's hard to say. I mean, that's a wild card there. But the top rotation, you expect to be good continuously. And I expect the bats to start warming up. As you get into May and into June, the bats will start to warm up. But is the pitching sustainable, in your opinion?
Maybe like you're saying, maybe not to the level that it's at right now, third best in all of Major League Baseball, maybe the best group in the American League, right? Nobody in the sports logged more innings than these guys while they're putting up an ERA just above 3. They might be the best in the American League, and maybe that isn't going to stick around for all 162. It might. You know, you can make a case last year that it was them or Seattle who had the best rotation. And, you know, I kind of disagree when you talk about Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo. Yes, I expect them to be good, but I actually do expect and did expect a slight regression from both of them coming off career years last year. Now, so far, that might not happen. They might both improve on what they did in 2024. What's most impressive to me is the improvement that we've seen out of the 4 and 5 spot in the rotation. You know, Brady Singer and Alec Marsh were outstanding in the first half of last year. And Chris Bubich, Michael Lorenzen, Noah Cameron have been every bit as good, if not better. You know, is that sustainable to get that type of production out of the number 4 and number 5 spots? That's what's going to allow this team to be the best in the American League come August and September. Chris Bubich gives me no reason to believe that he's going to slow down anytime soon. Michael Lorenzen, I wouldn't say it to his face, certainly not when you have biceps like that, but you know, with what we've seen from him, off to a great start on a one-year deal at $7 million. Kyle Wright's going to start his rehab assignment coming up today in Northwest Arkansas.
Stop right there for a second, Vern, with Kyle Wright, because this is kind of not a talked-about guy with the Royals. We're talking about the guy that led the league in wins a couple years ago with Atlanta. This is kind of a sneaky guy that can help this team eventually.
Well, let's hope so, and that's the point. Him, Noah Cameron, what you saw from him the other day, coupled with what you're getting out of a guy in Michael Lorenzen who's on a one-year deal, man, you have some real options to where if the offense continues to be mired near the bottom of Major League Baseball in most offensive categories, well, maybe you can use some of that pitching depth, whether it's one of those names I just mentioned or someone down in the minor leagues even deeper. Maybe you could use some of that pitching depth to improve your offense and not solely rely on Jack Caglione to come alongside the big four at the top and push this team into October. No, you can go add an outfielder and bring up a Jack Caglione and allow this lineup to be, you know, the best one put forth by a Royals team in quite a while.
What'd you think of the St. Joe Maestro? Noah Cameron, now he's back in AAA, but you got to see him in
the
spring
St.
training.
St. Joe Maestro.
That's right.
Did you coin that?
No, just now.
It's pretty good.
But anyway, you know,
it's pretty good.
You had some walk issues, whatever. You get to see this guy in spring training. But, man, I'm telling you, man, I love this kid's confidence.
Yeah, he's a man. Yeah, I was on with Cody and Gold, and you know, that's the thing I kept going back to. It's not going to look like a young man out there making his big league debut. He carries himself like a pro, and that was even more than just a professional effort from the 25-year-old. Again, this was a guy that impressed the organization so much. Not only do they put him on the 40-man roster, but they also, without saying it, you know, Daniel Lynch, you're now a reliever. You know, we have our next lefty for the rotation. Noah Cameron took that starting spot or that starting dream from Daniel Lynch. Now, they don't come out and say it, but when Daniel brings camp with the team out of the bullpen and he earned it. Well, it's also a reflection of he's been usurped on the depth chart by Noah.
Well, the lineup just came out, Vern, and no Salvi in this lineup. It's got Fermin back at catcher for the Royals, and at first base will be Vinny. So no Sal in the lineup tonight. What's different with the Orioles this year? This year they're 12-18. Last year, after 30 games, they were 19-11. I mean, they were rolling. Yeah. Last year, besides pitching, is that the end all be all with Baltimore?
Yeah, I was
going to
say, don't
right
minimize
now?
That. Don't minimize Corbin.
I'm not, Burns. But I mean, yeah. It's a different team. Last year, they were 8 games over 500 in 30 games.
Yeah, and then they showed a very unimpressive lack of effort at the trade deadline. You know, for as much as we've lauded that organization over the past few seasons for all of that young offensive talent. They refuse to even come close to pushing their chips all in. We haven't seen Baltimore show a bit of the aggressiveness we've seen from John Sherman and J.J. Piccolo. But yeah, Corbin Burns was there. They brought in a Zach Eflin. But they allow Corbin Burns to leave. They don't really replace him. And now injuries have befallen that rotation. Jordan Westberg, one of their best young sluggers, has been banged up. You can't say what else besides the pitching, because in baseball, as you know, Bink, it always begins with pitching. That's why the Royals are even in this thing instead of being out of the race already. The only reason why they're in it is because of the pitching.
And Cole Reagans, we probably won't see till Monday against the White Sox?
Seems that way, yeah.
Okay. Seems like he's going to be pushed back till then, which is fine. I mean, it's great to have the White Sox come in. Again, you got to take advantage of them, beat them 12 out of 13 times, which they could do. They did that last year, but you can't always predict that that's what's going to happen. You got to find a way to bully somebody else, which they've been able to do Minnesota to some extent. Are you kind of happy now with the defense lately, Vern? Because I know defense is always something you look at and you want to see, because that can make a difference between a win or loss, especially playing these close games. But is the defense getting around to where you like it now?
Yeah, well, it's strange with this year's defense, because I think the defense is more of a reflection of the coaching staff now, because it's on the coaches to hide Jonathan India out there. Not that he's a complete butcher, but there's a standard in Kansas City when it comes to defense, and I can't remember very many teams that would put out the defender that Jonathan India is at third base, at second base, in left field. He's below average at best. So it's going to be a thing. You know, Vinny's balling out at first base. Bobby's always a stud. Mikel's a great third. Mikel's just a great defender. Two great defenders behind the dish. Kyle Isbell's, you know, didn't get off to the type of start of the season that we would expect, but we all know about his ability. Drew Waters has been a godsend for the offense and, you know, has allowed the corner outfield spot to not really drop off with the demotion of MJ Melendez. So, yeah, I'm more encouraged with the defense, but I think I think any hopes of this year's defense reminding Royals fans of those great, pristine units that we've watched over the past decade, I just don't think that's going to happen. I think they've acknowledged that we'll sacrifice a little bit of defense for a possible boost offensively. And look, if Jack Caglione comes up and plays, that's only going to continue. I don't know if Royals fans will complain, but if the losses start to mount up, you know, you look at Michael Wacha on the hill tonight, last time he faced Baltimore, you know, he wasn't as bad as his final line would indicate, but Jonathan India kicked a ball at third base. The bullpen gagged up a few of the inherited runners. You know, those things that we saw early in the season again, the difference between a team that's trying to get to 500 and a team that's trying to make the postseason. In April, the Royals looked like that ball club that would be happy with 500 as they're making mistakes defensively. You know, the bullpen was shaky. The base running decision making was poor. You know, what we're seeing of late in this run where they've won 9 of 10 is they look more like a second tier team, a team that will be unhappy if they fall short of the postseason. They're just playing a slightly better brand of baseball, but we're still looking for that consistent stretch of well-rounded baseball, not everyone saddle up the starting pitcher and allow him to lead us to a 3-0 victory.
Well, Josh Vernier comes your way at 5 o'clock. Michael Wacha on the mound for the Kansas City Royals. Game 1 against Baltimore at Baltimore tonight. Excuse me, they played him here, but at Baltimore tonight. And last question for you, Vern. Has Max Crosby hit you up for alumni money yet?
No, man. They didn't build the stadium, but they named the football stadium stadium in Ypsilanti after Max Crosby.
In his
I
position.
Love that guy. He was born in Lapeerre, Michigan.
Hey, man. They gave him the Max Crosby position. Yeah, it's the Max position. He's like the assistant GM out there now.
Sure, yeah, sure. Whatever it takes. I can't believe they still have a football program, to be quite honest.
And they do. They have great turf, too. How about that?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Josh Vernier, Royals Insider, joining us, the best in the business. Thanks, Vern.
Thank you.
There you go, Josh Vernier right there. We'll take a timeout. Come back, talk some more Royals. This kind of offensive resurgence and the stats, the numbers our Royals are putting up in the last 10 days, it'll make you think, is this team turning the corner? We'll discuss that next.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, your home for the best food takes in KC.
Regular old American nachos. You know, I don't need jalapenos with mine, just chips, cheese.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
No Vinny, it's not Carrington. He's down at Churchill Downs enjoying the Kentucky Derby this weekend. Jay Binkley, Rob Brinton with you. Rob has already had the mint julep. He tried it out. I don't think he'll be doing that again. Straight bourbon, not out of the question. What's your Friday night drink, Rob? I don't think I've ever asked you that question.
I'm a cocktail on Friday night guy. Saturdays for beers, Fridays for cocktails. So probably an old fashioned.
What is your Saturday morning, I assume, is EPL?
Yep. EPL on Saturday morning or Sunday morning.
So and dark beer.
Dark beer.
You go any place for this?
Dark beer to light beer. That's how you got to do a Saturday.
I like dark beer. You a dark beer fan?
Big fan.
Okay. Do you go anywhere or do you watch at home?
I mostly watch at home nowadays.
What do you get the. What apps do you use mainly for that?
Peacock. It's on Peacock.
It's on Peacock, but they show them again on Fox Sports 1 a lot, don't they?
No, some of them are on Peacock. Most are on Peacock. Some of them show up on ESPN Plus, depending on what it is. But those are the two apps you need if you're a European soccer fan.
I'm getting tired of buying apps, man. I have a few.
Well, the NFL is going to keep pushing you to more.
I know.
So.
I know. Because right now, the Chiefs are always on anyway, so it doesn't matter. You don't need them for that. But you need them for the other games, so... Netflix, Amazon Prime, ESPN Plus. I've yet to dive into Peacock yet, though. I guess I need to at some point, but that's the one I know.
Baby.
I know, man, but I'm ESPN Plus guy. They show enough Big Ten games anyway. It's the primetime game a lot of times anyway. So I don't mind. But the whole deal with the apps is getting out of hand. I prefer, to be honest with you, I still prefer cable. Because I can flip to the games and get there quickly, but you do need the apps. It's just kind of a pain to go to and from the apps all the time. As I mentioned, Nick Capel, who's in the Royals PR stead, put out what the Royals have done the last 10 games. If you haven't paid attention, the last 10 games have been unbelievable. First in wins, obviously, they've won 9 of 10. So obviously in the last 10 games, they'd be at the top, 9-10. Everybody's talking about the Mets. By the way, the Mets won, lost back-to-back to the Diamondbacks coming into it, but they'll be in Kansas City in July. It'll be July 11th and 12th. I think they're honoring the 2015 team that July 11th, that Friday. I think it's the Eric Hosmer bobblehead night. As well, you can honor the 2015 world champions. It's very weird saying that was a decade ago. To be honest with you, it is weird to honor that team as one of these teams of the past, but it is. And Sal Perez still here, still doing his deal. He's out of the lineup tonight, by the way. Still on the roster, not on the IL or anything, but he's, for me, is behind the plate tonight. Vinny's at first base. No Salvador Perez tonight, as the Royals have put out the lineup already against Baltimore tonight. Josh Vernier has your pregame. Vern's on Deck show coming up at 5 o'clock. They're first in ERA. Unbelievable. First in opponent average. Teams just hitting 195 against them. First in shutout wins. They've got three. They've got three shutouts the last 10 games. When do you think you see that again? But they have three shutouts in the last 10 games. Tied for second in offensive batting average at 288. To me, out of all these numbers, they're great. I guess number one would be the shutouts. I think that's pretty cool. When you can shut another team out, especially a pro team, that's good stuff. Shows you where your pitching's sitting. But these batting averages, up to 288. It's been different, man. Batting averages are going down in Major League Baseball. It's not like Ichiro the other day. Yeah, I saw a stat on him. 10 at-bats, he went over 300 for the first time when he first came to the major leagues. He never dipped below 300 after that. That's incredible. That shows you how good of a hitter he is. Never dipped under 300 after 10 at-bats in the major leagues. That is insanity that he was that good for so long. But the Royals' batting average is starting to come up a little bit. Vinny starting to find himself a little bit, which helps Bobby Witt Jr. in the lineup, to be honest with you, having that kind of protection. Hopefully Jonathan India start getting on base as much and getting around. I understand why they brought in Jonathan India. It's good to see. It's great to have him at the top of the lineup. I think eventually the Royals start talking trades. How can they add more offense to this team if they need it? We don't know. Our guys' bats can start warming up. Sal Perez, you know what he can do. I mean, he's got a track record of doing it. He can do it. He's starting to do it. I mean, slowly coming around for Sal. Vinny is too good of a hitter to be hitting where he does. He's starting to come around a little bit. He's got four home runs, the most on this team at this point. So it's starting to come around. Not worried about as much. Mikel Garcia has been unbelievable player for this team hitting the ball. Drew Waters has been a great surprise coming up from Omaha and doing what he's doing. But there might be a reason for a bat. And as Vern said, you know, pitching is a premium. And with Kyle Wright coming up, by the way, in Double A, you've been tracking the Kyle Wright news. I don't think anybody talks about Kyle Wright. And I think they deserve to talk about this kid because this kid can be good. I know he's coming off an injury, and he missed all of last year, but he's around the team a lot, especially in the postseason. Led Major League Baseball in wins 2 years ago with the Braves. I think we're kind of forgetting how good this kid is.
I mean, he's a name to watch. He's one of those names, and this is a, you know, more of a June-July conversation.
But it is, but it's a good to bring him up, though.
If he's healthy and he can come back and they can have another arm out of him, whether it be a starter or a bullpen guy, it makes the conversation about adding a bat in July a little different. If you can survive to lose a starter on the rotation or lose a quality bullpen arm to their team, because, Bink, we know how this works. Like, if you're going to give up a rental piece, you're probably going to get a rental piece back, like give up a rental arm for a bat. But if you're going to give up a player with a little bit of club control, you have a chance to get a player with a little bit of club control coming back. So if the Royals are in search of a bat, and I think they need one more than just for 2025, they might need one for 2026 and beyond. If they're going to make the Lucas Ursegg type of trade, which is possible, you probably have to give up a player who has a little bit of club control. You're more willing to do that if a Kyle Wright is healthy and producing. If a Noah Cameron, St. Joe Maestro, I love that. If he is up and producing, like those sorts of things, it's not just, oh, look, the farm system's so good, you love the farm system. It's creating depth to make moves that improve the Major League club.
Yeah, I'm with it. Kyle Wright could definitely make a difference. I think people will be pleasantly surprised how good he is. He's World Series champion back with the Braves. He was the fifth overall selection, by the way. He played at Vanderbilt. Fifth overall selection from Atlanta is going to be working in through the minors, getting himself back. But this kid can play, man. And with him out there is another option. And then what you saw from Noah Cameron, it all of a sudden, or Lorenzen, you make a trade with it, all of a sudden becomes easier for the Royals. And pitching is premium. That is the currency of baseball, as Dayton Moore used to call it. The currency of baseball, 100% is, to bring in a bat. But, man, with this team, doing what they're doing. The bats starting to come around. We hit May 1st. We're on, what, May 2nd now, starting to come around for these bats. And the Royals winning of 9 of 10, sweeping a series on the road. When everybody's talking about, oh, they can't beat good teams and can they win on the road? Those are the two questions that are answered. Both those boxes have been checked. They go on the road and sweep. I think the Rays are still a good team. I get it. They're not maybe as good as they've been in the past. That's still a good team. Colorado, I get it. People are like, ah, they're beating bad teams. They beat the hell out of Colorado. Everybody does. It's true. They do. Colorado sucks. But they did what you have to do, and they beat them. They swept them. Took them extra innings one game, but then they won both games in doubleheader. But it was the right team at the right time because this team was under 500. Colorado comes in the borrow a phrase from Dusty. How you doing? When Colorado Rockies came here, the White Sox come in for four next week. No, they're not winning games, but when they do win, they win by 7-plus runs. It has been impressive. They do lead Major League Baseball in that, so that'll be interesting. Hopefully the Royals keep them down, keep bad teams down. But the batting average will come around to me. But Kyle Wright starting to get warmed up and through the minor leagues of the Kansas City Royals. That excites me because I think this kid's going to be someone to talk about. Again, Major League wins leader a couple years ago with Atlanta. It'll be interesting to see his progression, see how they're going to use him. Whether it'll be starting or we'll use him out of the – if he's starting, it's probably an injury and you don't want to see that. Or he can be in the bullpen, but he can definitely do that. And by the way, Canna is the DH tonight, not Sal Perez. It's Vinny at first, Canna DH, Fermin behind the plate for the Royals. The lineup is India, Witt Jr., Vinny, Mikel, Massey, Canna, Waters, Fermin, Isbell is the starting lineup for the Royals. Michael Walker, of course, pitching tonight. Three games in Baltimore. Different team than you've seen in the past. They were 19-11 through 30 games last year. Much different. They sit 12-18. 7-7 at home, though. They've got that 500 record at home. The Royals now just 6-10 away. Three of those wins coming in a row in Tampa as they swept the Rays. They've gone now to 6-10 on the road for the season as the Royals now two games over 500, 17-15. I know Vern didn't want to talk about it now, but they are tied for a wild card position. So they've got themselves back into being a playoff caliber team like they are. And I do think it's going to be a two-horse race. This division is not over either. It's going to be between Kansas City and Detroit, in my opinion. Those are the two teams to watch. But it's Michael Walker tonight, 1-3 with the 3.38 against Kramer, who's 2-4 with the 7.04 ERA for Baltimore. Dean's been touched up a bit this year at 7.04 ERA. This is good for the Royals. This is good. You got a pitcher that's been struggling. Warm those bats up. And last year was interesting in Baltimore because even though Baltimore was a good team, remember early in the season, the Royals ended up, I think, losing 2 of 3 in that series. But, man, they could have won or swept that series as it was. Those were some close games.
You mentioned it there. For me, this series is a litmus test for if the offense is turning the corner or if it was just a little pop moment against the Rays. Dean Kramer has been bad this year. His ERA is 7, and the Royals' offense has started to look better. There is no reason you shouldn't score some runs tonight. I'm not guaranteeing a win or saying it's a must-win or anything of that nature, but you should score some runs tonight. You scored 8 yesterday against likely the Rays' best pitcher, and you scored some runs in the Rocky series, and that's all fine and dandy. And
it's just 1 of 5 games or 4 runs. That was incredible.
And the stats will show that you just laid out. The last 10 games, they are better offensively, but this is a pitcher you should get to tonight. This is a ballpark that is relatively hitter-friendly. I know they've move the walls in, then out, then back in. They've kind of messed around the walls. But generally speaking, Baltimore is a little bit hitter-friendly. You're playing a guy tonight with a bad ERA, and you just heard Vern. If you didn't, check the podcast page. He talked about how the Orioles pitching staff has not been good this year. They lost Corbin Burns, and they've just been mid. If you want to have me believe the Royals offense is turning the corner and that this is going to look like not a, gangbusters top of the MLB type of offense, but just middle of the pack to match that pitching, you got to go score some runs this weekend. You can't walk away, even with a series win, and you win 2-1, 3-2, and lose 5-3. I need some runs this weekend, especially a night against Dean Kramer. That to me is the litmus test that this offense is turning a corner or if they've had a nice little singular moment down in Tampa.
Anyway, I did mention Kyle Wright earlier. He did go 21-5 with the 3.18. Back in 2022, 3.19, 3.19. He had 30 starts that year, pitched 180 innings. Of course, he was hurt that following year in 2023. Did not play last year, but he did go make some postseason trips to the Royals. He'll be playing in Double-A. He'll be with the Northwest Arkansas Naturals. He has not appeared in a major league game since September 28th of 2023. So seeing Kyle Wright come back, I think, is only better for the Royals. Better on the horizon. You got a guy like that and an arm like that coming back for the Royals. Hopefully these bats start turning around. And again, these Royals, as far as what they've been doing, second best batting average in the last 10 games, you'll take that any day because hitting's been a problem. But hitting 288, getting those runs in Tampa, that was good to see. Yes, minor league style ballpark, the eight ball for the Yankees there, still took advantage of it, played the Rays, swept the Rays. Rays are a decent team, to be honest with you. So also we've seen that. Yesterday, Rob and I were talking about the Southside White Sox, not the North Side, the Southside White Sox, because their City Connects say Southside on them. City Connects, we'll talk about those because I think the NFL was wanting to do that too. But the hallowed numbers, I saw where Gray Zabel called Steve Hutchinson and asked if he could wear 76, which isn't retired, which he did that just to be nice, I think, just to honor a guy that's played in the past, because he could wear whatever number he wants. It's not retired. Now, Lawrence Taylor's is for the Giants. He said no to Micah Parsons wearing it, or to Abdul Carter wearing his number. Said no, maybe later. Got to prove yourself first. I get that. But there's certain numbers I don't think you should ever wear. Retired numbers, I get it. You don't want to see another 58 for the Chiefs. You just don't want to see it. You don't want to see someone wearing Joe Delaney. You just don't want to see it. I don't. Heck, I don't even see another player wear Patrick Mahomes' number in the future, to be honest with you. You don't want to see it. But do numbers really matter to you? Any hallowed numbers that you say should never be worn in Kansas City? My list is pretty small for that, Rob, to be honest with you. We've seen other 88s that Tony Gonzalez wears. Of course, you got to retire the number. Have you seen the Yankees, how many retired numbers they have? I mean, it's tough to wear a number in New York because of all the retired numbers that they have. I mean, yeah, for the Kansas City Royals, I don't want to see another number 5. That's it. It's George Brett. Don't want to ever want to see another number. Like Frank White's, I don't care at this point. You can wear 20 if you want to. But Brett, you stay away from. I just put it there, Rob. I know there's a lot of numbers. Doesn't mean as much to me, but George Brett's, you don't wear. Which well, they
I mean,
won't.
I mean,
can't.
He's retired.
So it's retired. They
that's,
can't.
But. That's different to me. Like, so Joe Delaney, Derek Thomas, Dick Houser, Frank White, George Brett, Lynn Dawson are all the retired numbers of the Chiefs and Royals. So those are automatically off limits. You can't even ask. I know that Abdul Carter asked about Lawrence Taylor's, but like.
You can ask.
It's not even worth the ad. You're probably getting a no. But are there any other numbers, like Steve Hutchinson in Seattle, who's not retired?
He's not retired. Anybody like, could take it. That was a nice gesture by Gray.
Are there players in Kansas City history, you're like, Chiefs or Royals, you're like, I would prefer, even though it's not retired, that one not catch another person? Because I know Tony Gonzalez exited weird here, but it always makes me feel it always feels goofy to me when these, you know, tight end 3, tight end 4, practice squad, no do nothing tight ends pop up wearing 88 in Kansas City. It kind of
it's weird.
It feels like, who was the guy last year? Peyton Hendershot was wearing 88. Stop it. That you shouldn't be allowed to wear 88, Peyton Hendershot. Or like, I think Ross Travis 1 year wore 88. I know it's not retired, but like I don't want to call it a hallowed number, but like why are those guys wearing 88? I think there should be more numbers like that where it's a little bit maybe not hallowed, but an honor to be bestowed that number. Kind of like it's a soccer thing, but if you're given the number 10, that's a big deal. I think the Chiefs and Royals should have some of those type of numbers.
Well, if you die, we're wearing a number. I think 30, Ace's number for the Royals. That's different to me, man. If you passed away while you're still wearing the number, you don't do it. You don't do it out of respect. You just don't do it. You just don't wear that number. It'd be weird seeing somebody wear that number, don't you think? I think it'd be weird to see someone wear that number. Never been enamored by numbers. Matter of fact, if I ever got a jersey, which I haven't bought many, I'll get no numbers on the back. Like NHL ones get no numbers. Baseball, no numbers. Football, you have to because, well, it would look silly if you didn't. But I've only bought one Chiefs jersey. That was Derek Thomas. That was it. Once Derek left, that's it. No more jerseys. Derek Thomas, that was it. I was a one jersey guy when it came to the Chiefs and Derek Thomas. You know my jersey rules. They're out there. Anybody can see them. If If you're over 300 pounds, don't wear a single digit. It's that simple. Just know your role. Know your size group and wear jerseys accordingly to that. But Derek Thomas and I was done. Do you own any jerseys, Rob, or do you a numbers guy, a jersey guy at all? Because I've never seen you really wear them.
I don't really wear them. I have a few, but I mostly own them for the intent of, like, one day I'll frame them and kind of put them in a man cave. I have a Derek Thomas. I'll probably one day buy a Mahomes. I have a couple other jerseys that are just, you know, designed with the intent of this is going to go into a case one day and be hung in my basement. It's not like a I wear it out and about type of thing. I don't really like jerseys like that.
Was Derek bought during his play or
no.
Afterwards?
It's an authenticated throwback from okay. NFL.com.
See, I bought it when he's playing. Shows you how old am I. Actually bought it when Derek Thomas was playing, and I was like, never seen a guy play like this. My all-time favorite Chief. I was like, I'm done. And then, of course, what happened to Derek, I was, like, completely done with it. I was like, I'll never buy another Chiefs one again. Now, Blues I've bought. I'm bought in hockey. Bought in baseball, but I don't get the numbers on back because they change all the time. I think there's certain ones you could get. I think you're pretty safe with the Bobby Witt Jr. jersey, of course. But it doesn't really fit my body style. Neither does Mahomes. He's not going away around for a while. And that no one should ever wear 15 again. Retire the number. Don't retire it. Just don't wear Patrick Mahomes' number. But anyway, coming up next, saw something last night in professional sports. It's like, I hope you're not one of these people, but this is crazy. We'll talk about Minnesota hockey next.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan, Jay Binkley, Rob Britton, home of the Royals, home of the Chiefs, right here in 96.5 The Fan. Of course, Carrington Harrison down at Churchill Downs. See his picture all over X and Instagram as far as what he's wearing. Dude dressed up nice. People are wondering what Carrington would wear down there. Dude looks like he fits right in, man. He's got two hats, straw hat for today, fedora for tomorrow. That's what he's got going on right there. So I'm watching the NHL playoffs last night. Rob, you watch any of the playoffs in the NBA or NHL?
I'm watching the basketball. I'm not really watching the hockey.
There's been some blowouts in the NBA. We've seen 50-point wins?
I mean, the Heat basically quit. But yes, we've seen some big ones.
Yes, they did quit. But we've seen some big wins in the NBA. NHL's been a lot of fun. I love watching the NHL playoffs. So I'm sitting there last night, and I have Minnesota on in Vegas. Vegas was up 3-1. Well, they were up 2-1. Then they go up 3-1. About 4 minutes left in the game. And they're panning the crowd, and they're showing all these people in jerseys, Minnesota Wild jerseys, standing up and leaving. It's like, what are you doing, man? This is way too early to leave in hockey. The way it is now, you can see goals real quick. Then 18 seconds later, boom, Minnesota scores and makes it 3-2. Well, they're already on the concourse when they hear that, or hopefully they're still in the building and come back to their seats. But they were leaving. And they didn't end up winning. Vegas ended up winning the game, but they still had a chance. They had a chance to tie it and send that to overtime really quickly. I mean, they were firing shots away left and right, and Vegas was defending them and getting them, but it could have tied the game up. And I'm like, all this money you're spending to go to the NHL playoffs, that's your team. Do you really want to be the guy that leaves the game when your team is still playing? Because there's been plenty of people that have left games in Kansas City and went for Kansas City to come back and win. I can tell you, when they were down 24-0 in Mahomes' first year as a starter to the Houston Texans, people are freaking out going, oh, no. No, his second year, excuse me, down 24-9 to the Texans. People are like, oh, down 24 points, they're not going to come back and win. And they come back and win by 20 points in that game. It's crazy, 52-32, something like that. But they left the game. But if you pay the money, aren't you sitting there watching your team till the end? I mean, it could be the finale. It could be the last time you're seeing that team this year. Guys retire often, they get traded, they move away. Your last time seeing the team. I just can't imagine spending that kind of money, buying the jersey, rocking the jersey, having primo seats, and leaving with 4 minutes left, and your team's still, quote, in the game. And like I said, they scored with 18 seconds left, making it 3-2, meaning they had more shots to come back and win the game. It's not about the Minnesota Wild. It's not about the Vegas Golden Knights. It's not about any of those teams. It's about if you spend the money, you actually leaving the game if you spent the hard-earned money to go. Now, you can do whatever you want. You bought the tickets. You spent the money. You can do what you want. It's your choice. But is that really what you want to do if you have the jersey, call yourself the ultimate fan, to go leaving the game at the end? I mean, I know they have the right to do this, Rob, but does it seem a little crazy when you see it?
I've left games early. I'm not going to disparage fans. Now, I have a rule about when I leave games. Like, it has to be, you know, a foregone conclusion my team is losing. Like, my general rule of thumb is the score difference larger than the time. That's my general rule of thumb for when I leave a game. So, like, for that Chiefs-Texans game, now, I did not go to that game, but I'll use it as an analogy. There was more than 24 minutes of football left on the clock. I don't care if it's 24-0. I'm not leaving yet. But, like, I've been at Royals games where it's the bottom of the seventh. The Royals are down 8-1. Well, there's, what, seven outs? There's nine outs left. They're down by seven. Okay, once the bottom of the seventh is over and they got six outs left, they're down by seven, that's when I'm leaving. So that's my rule of thumb is that...
I think the wild card game is a perfect example. That Royals and A's.
I also think playoff games change the calculus. Because, like, regular season game, okay, my team's getting beat, I'll walk out. But, like, I'm not going to disparage fans too much. I just have my rule of thumb is the score difference larger than the amount of time or outs left in the game. And if that's the case, I will stick it out. But if that number swings the opposite way, like, I'm not sticking out a Royals game when it's 13-1 in the bottom of the fifth. You're getting killed. I'm going home. Like, I'm done. Like, I don't need to see this anymore. Playoff games change the calculus because of pricing and, you know, rarity. But I will leave games no problem.
Yeah, because it was early in the second quarter. It was 10:54 left of that second quarter. It was Mahomes' 2019 playoffs. They were down 24-0 quickly. Then they came storming right back. I'm sure there are some people who left that game. You'll never admit to leaving that game. Just like the wild card game. People are like, good season for the Royals. So much was hinging on that game against the A's in the wild card. Because they had pushed all in. The A's had pushed. Billy Beane had pushed all in that year. Then all of a sudden, the Royals did the argument. Did they actually make the playoffs or not? If you made the wild card, I think you do. If you're playing postseason baseball, I don't care if it's just a wild card game, whatever. It's a one game at that point. Who cares? You made it. You're in the postseason. Everybody else is sitting at home. You're in. But last night, I was kind of in shock seeing people leave that game. Especially when they came right back and scored a goal and made it 3-2 really quickly. That ended up winning it. Didn't them tying it, but they could have. I mean, there's a ton of shots on goal at the end of that game. Text line 913-586-7965, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. I get it. Take that part of the equation. You bought the tickets. You can do what you want, so I don't want to see that. But would you leave the game? Would you leave the game or would you stay and watch your team through? Do you want to see the handshake at the end? If you lose, I mean, your players are standing around. They go and shake everybody's hand at the end of a series. If Vegas wins, they're moving on. They shake hands at the end. They get in the line and do it. You know, grudges go by, fights, whatever they had. They shake everybody's hand and leave. Or do you want to support your team and say, hey, we appreciated the effort this year. We appreciated you getting this far, but we don't want to leave you. But I was shocked when I saw these people in prime seats leaving with jerseys on. Again, you can do whatever you want, but are you doing that? Did you leave that Chiefs game? Because I sat here doing the post game. And I'll never forget some of those texts that we had when the Chiefs were down 24-0. Oh, they suck. Oh, my God. Got to fire Andy Reid. You wouldn't believe the nonsense that came in here. And it's always fun. Like sitting here for more than a decade doing post-game and just seeing the reaction of people. Fire Veach, fire Reid. Mahomes isn't what you think he is, blah, blah, blah. You get this all week when the team's it's like, Once they did that, like, you had to change your opinion. Like, the Chiefs were down double digits that whole postseason. Even in the Super Bowl, the San Francisco, they were down double digits. But they came back and won. So it's like, once you've seen that, is it kind of like, okay, I think the Chiefs can come back from anything. I don't care if they're down by 10 points, they can come back and win the game. Because they've done it. You've read that book, you've seen, they've done it. They do that all the time. I just think it'd be hard. I mean, remember that game in Houston where the Royals are down there and Moose is on the edge of the dugout yelling at the players? I mean, everybody froze in their positions, wherever they were at, froze in their positions just to see if the Royals could win. That was an afternoon game. You might have been picking your kid up at school. You're driving around. You're listening to it on 610 Sports Radio at the point because you're in your car listening, and the Royals come back in Houston to win that game, end up going on winning the World Series in 2015. That was fun. But again, it's your money. Do what you want. I just can't see investing the kind of money in buying the jerseys and the seats and then walking out and leaving that game. Coming up next, Rob and I talked about the City Connects for the Kansas City Royals that they've worn the last couple of years and how teams are getting creative, including the Chicago White Sox that are wearing Chicago Bulls City Connects. Well, the NFL is thinking about doing something as well. Will this work or not?